You may be seated.
This morning our text comes from the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, the first 17 verses. We're in the third part of a three-part series on what we would call last hour instructions, the things that Jesus found most urgent to tell his disciples and us before he left this earth. And so the first 2 weeks we talked about the first thing that was so important was Jesus teaching them the importance of loving and serving. And he demonstrated that by the washing of the disciples' feet. 2 weeks ago we talked about the things that he wanted them to know, that he was the way, the truth, and the life, that he wouldn't leave them and he wouldn't leave us and he would be with us. Today we move into what is known as the vine and the branches. And I've simply entitled this Abide. You've heard a lot of sermons from the 15th chapter of John and on the vine and the branches. There are a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts, but I really want to focus this morning on that one word, abide, and what it means and what it should mean and can mean to us. So hear Jesus' words as he speaks to the disciples from John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Abide. That word is used a lot of different ways. When I went to Webster's dictionary, I found about a paragraph of definitions for the word abide. One was on the negative side, I just can't abide him. You've heard that. That phrase is used so many different ways, but we want to use it in the sense in which Jesus is using it here about abiding. Some of the definitions go like this. Abide means to remain, to stay, to continue in a particular condition, to last, to endure, to wait for, to comply with, submit. And even in the 2000 edition of Webster's Dictionary, I don't know if it would still make it in 2018, but in the 2000 edition of Webster's Dictionary, one of the definitions is this: to abide the coming of the Lord. to abide the coming of the Lord, to wait for, to remain, to look for, to rest in, to stay attuned to the coming of the Lord. Not content with just a dictionary, I pulled out a thesaurus, and there were four or five words there, but I found one that just totally captured me. Roost. R-O-O-S-T. Just to roost. Now, those of you who have chickens know about roosting, right? They just roost. And when I thought about the synonym for abide being to roost, I thought about how often that is spoken of in Scripture. I'm going to close this morning, not right now, but I'm going to close this morning with a great hymn that you may have heard of, Under His Wings, written by William Cushing. But it was interesting, and so I'm going to give you some of the preliminary as to the background of the writing of this hymn, Under His Wings. In the days following World War II, when communists were overrunning China, the endangered missionaries found comfort knowing that in a world dominated by the Iron Curtain and the Bamboo Curtain, they could rest under the feather curtain of God. Psalm 91:4 says, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. The biblical patriarch Boaz referred to Ruth as a woman who had come under the Lord's wings for refuge. Later, Ruth's great-grandson, King David, perhaps recalling that story, asked the Lord in the Psalm 17:8, Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. And in Psalm 57, he cried, Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take my refuge until these calamities have passed by. 1,000 years later, David's great-great descendant, Jesus of Nazareth, said to the children of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 27, I believe it is. We have it on the screen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. If I have one thrust for today's message, the thrust would be that you and I would not be like those rebellious children of Israel in Jesus' day who refused the most precious offer that could ever be made. The tender nature of a hen. You've heard the stories, the imagery of the hen protecting her chicks are absolutely phenomenal. More than once I've read stories of wildlife and forest rangers saying after a tremendous forest fire, they will have discovered a mother bird singed almost to death, only to lift her and find under her wings, breathing, living safely, those baby chicks. What more tender imagery could ever be given than Jesus saying to us, how often I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chickens and put you under my wings where you could abide safely under my wings, but you were not willing. My challenge is, let us not be unwilling to abide. Let us not be unwilling to abide. Jesus says that He is the true vine, and it's imperative, and I want to stress that this morning, that we abide in the true vine. It is not without purpose that Jesus said, I am the true vine. There are many vines to which you could attach yourself. Jesus spoke many times about all those who had come before Him, those wannabe messiahs, those pretend saviors. He said they were all thieves and robbers and distorting who God really is. I am the true vine. Jesus often, especially in John's gospel, would preface those things that he was with the words, I am. The same word that the Israelites would have been familiar with when Moses questioned God, saying, who shall I tell the Egyptians has sent me? And God said, you tell them, I am that I am has sent you. And so Jesus, in more ways than one, claimed to be this great God, and he said, I am the true vine. Folks, we live in a world where folks are attaching themselves to every kind of false illusion for purpose in life like a time I've never seen in my lifetime. Running after this, attaching to that, believing this thing or that thing, wasting lives. And we'll talk just a little about that as Jesus unfolds that in this great teaching. There are two or three examples in Scripture of the organic, vital union between Jesus and his people. So it is clear and unmistakable this morning. If you are in Christ, when I look at you or you look at me, I can say, you're a branch if you're attached to the true vine. There's like an organic union there. Many other things that describe this unbreakable relationship. Christ is the foundation. We're the stones. We're built on a foundation. Christ is the head. We are the body. All of these images used in Scripture that talk about a vital union. So it would be foolish to be vitally united and then not abide. Why would a branch want to try to live on its own when all of its life is supplied through the vine? Why do we as branches often want to attach ourselves to things that are lesser? Things that promise no real substance. Things that promise no everlasting and eternal hope. And so this vital organic union that Jesus speaks of here speaks of complete dependency. Well, what an affront to our pride. I was reading, just refreshing myself on some of the tenets of the faith of the Catholic Church, and they still prescribe very heavily, we believe in the seven deadly sins. Number one is pride. Number one is pride. They have nailed it. Pride is the cause of the human condition being in the condition it is in, for it is pride that led Satan to rebel against God. It was pride that caused Adam and Eve to think that they knew something better than God's plan. And it is that same inherited pride that's in the human nature that causes us to think we are not dependent upon God. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You say, that just doesn't seem right. How can that be? Well, there are several aspects to interpreting that, but the Apostle Paul grasped it completely when he spoke to those philosophers on Mars Hill and said, it is in him, this unknown God that you would like to know, it is in him that you live and move and have your being. So whether or not you acknowledge God, you are still you cannot be independent of him. You are dependent upon him for every breath that you breathe, every movement that you make. And that is an affront to human pride. But Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So abide, rest, roost, be in that place. Don't fight it. Don't look for something else. Don't try to escape it. Don't think there's something better out there. And since we're talking about college students, we have two or three graduates here. We have some more folks who are graduating. Glad to have a granddaughter back from Wyoming. All of these things. But college and university and our education system today is predominantly loaded and directed to tell you, get away from God. All that stuff of those fundamentalists is so unreal, so archaic, so backwoods, so deplorable that you need your mind open to real thinking? Folks, you know, and to all of our youngsters I say, don't get away from it. Abide in the one who is the source of your life, the one who provides your strength, the one who provides you with a solid foundation. Abide, abide. Listen, don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for fame, fortune, success, philosophy, or religion. Don't settle for religion. Don't settle for fame, fortune, philosophy. In fact, in the book of Colossians, Paul wrote to that church, don't settle for empty philosophy and for religion. In fact, it's in the book of Colossians chapter 2 or chapter 3 that he wrote this, beware, beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Don't be cheated by empty philosophy. I'm going to get on my soapbox for just a moment, and I'll get off. Occasionally, just to see what's going on, I will listen and watch some of the so-called brilliant athletes, TV stars, and Hollywood personalities expound their philosophy. And let me just say, politely, I think I'm reasonably intelligent. I've never heard so much stupidity in a few minutes in all my life. And then my other thought is, who cares what you think? And bless Dolly Parton's heart. They tried to put her on that, and she said, I'm an entertainer, and I don't think my opinions on politics are all that important. I'll give her an A+. I'll go buy another album or go to Dollywood. Because I am tired of all these so-called philosophers who are cheating all of the pop culture fans who don't know 1 ounce about history. And by the way, if you think, all I can say is, if you don't know what a Nazi really is, go read some history. And I'll leave it at that. Because if you don't know it, some of you in here today are being called by the Hollywood elite and others Nazis. And that is no term of endearment. Well, I'm off the platform. Don't settle for less when you can have Christ. Don't settle for less when you can have Christ. The Bible, in Jesus' teaching here, really speaks of the worthless nature of such. He speaks of the worthless nature of all this philosophy, all this self-aggrandizing, all this self-promotion and self-sufficiency in the parable. And he says, those branches that don't abide, what happens to them? They just wither and die and get burned. They're pretty worthless. Paul addressed this in 1 Corinthians to the early church over there that was getting away from abiding in Christ. And he says this, for no other here is that imagery again, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, you notice the difference there in those building materials. Back that up just a moment. To keep clear with what I'm preaching to you this morning, gold, silver, and precious stones would represent those who abide in Christ. That would represent that which is lasting. The wood, the hay, the stubble would represent trying to do it on your own, pursuing some other philosophy, ignoring Christ, not abiding. So Paul says believers can live that way. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. A lot of folks get confused sometimes, especially you read a work like that, or you read Jesus' teaching on the vine and the branches, and they bring it back to a works mentality. And they say, if you don't work hard enough, you're going to hell. It says right there, if you do the wrong kind of works, you're going to be burned up and go to hell. That's not what that's teaching, and that's not what Paul's teaching. He's teaching that it is useless to live a life outside of abiding in Christ. And God's plan and purpose is much bigger than just having folks divided into the ones who are going to heaven and the ones who are going to hell. Jesus, there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to avoid. But Jesus did not come saying, I have come that you might not go to hell, but that you would go to heaven. In his specific terms, he says things like this when asked why he came. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said when asked by Pilate on the witness stand just prior to his crucifixion, do you have a kingdom? Are you a king? And Jesus said, this is the reason I came, to bear witness to the truth. It's time that our churches and our culture get a grip on truth. We've been living by lies and illusions for too long. It's time that we understand that the church and a relationship with God is bigger than some sorting ground between who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. It's a body that's vitally united with Christ so that we can live abundantly, so we can base our lives on truth, so we can make good decisions, so we can be a blessing to other people, so that we can be vessels of love, so that we can be vessels of light, so that we can do some things that impact a culture in enemy territory. And then one day, praise the Lord, when death comes and our time on earth is done, we'll live forever. Amen. Isn't that a great life? That's the life I want to live. And that's what Jesus said, if you abide in me, your life will shine, it'll be abundant. Your works will not be burned up. You'll have a life, both now and forever. Roost. Don't run away from it. Don't try to get away from it. Don't try to replace it. I'm closing with the last part that Jesus said was, through his offer for us to abide in him is that our love and joy would be perfected through abiding. In verses 9 and 10, he says, I'm loving you. But when you really dig into what Jesus said and let it sink in and not just be words on the page, he said to those guys, and he's saying to us, that's why it was preserved by the Holy Spirit on the pages of Scripture. He's saying, I love you all just the same way my Father loved me. How big is the Father's love? Can you measure how much God loved his Son? He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus said, I love you folks just the same way that my Father loved me. And I'm telling you these things so you can abide in that kind of love, and that you can have joy. And remember, in another place he said, I give you joy and I give you peace. It's not like the world gives, because you're going to have trouble. But my peace will be something, and my joy will be something that will never fail you. So he offers us the opportunity to abide and to know that that abiding in him is the source of our love and real joy. It tells us, as he said to them, I call you friends. He says to us, if you abide in me, we'll have a relationship of friends, not servant and boss. When you abide in me, it's not a servant and boss relationship, it's a friend. That's why the hymn writer said, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. Friends are precious. Friends are valuable. My heart aches sometimes when I see folks who don't have any friends. They've sort of isolated themselves. I count among my greatest blessings having friends. And Jesus said, you are my friends if you obey my commands. His commands were, love one another and abide in my love. And so we have that relationship. Can I emphasize this to you also? So many people, in addition to going through life thinking that the church is a place that just is a sorting ground for who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, also have a vision of God that is, he's the boss, and he's an angry boss, or he's the policeman in the sky with a giant billy club ready to hit me over the head every time I do something wrong. God is righteous, God is holy, God hates sin. All of that is true, but compatible along with that nature of righteousness and holiness is a God who looks at his children with compassion and says, I love you. I want to be your father. I want you to be my child. My son has come that we can be friends. We can be friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. And so it's abiding. It's when we get away from that. It's when we get out from under the chicken's wings. It's when we get off the roost that we begin to have distorted views of God and our relationship gets all messed up. He says when we abide, it gives us the freedom to make requests, to ask him anything. And it gives us the security that enables us to love. We talked in the very first lesson about how Jesus was free to love because of his security in the Father's love. And so, with all the things I've said to you this morning about abiding and gave you that introduction, we used to sing this hymn all the time, or quite a bit of the time when I was growing up in the Church of Christ. Haven't sung it in a long time. Some of you always like to know, how many folks ever heard, I'm not going to sing, how many folks have ever heard the song, Under His Wings? Okay, we have a few folks who have been around, good. Well, it closes and capsulizes this whole message very well about abiding and the roosting. Cushing wrote this, under his wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens, tempests are wild, still I can trust him, I know he will keep me, he has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, what a refuge for sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort, and there I am blessed. Under his wings, oh, what a precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. The chorus says, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Well, I went a lot of different ways this morning and maybe used a little too much time to drive home this point. Abide, rest safely under the wings, roost in the safety of God's chicken pen. Maybe you'll remember that. Mike, would you come and play? Let's stand to our feet. As we have this time of reflection, time of commitment, time for prayer, any need that anyone has on his or her heart, it's so refreshing. Sometimes some folks just want to come to this altar and have their own time with Jesus. Sometimes they want to be prayed for, whatever that need is. Sometimes folks want to come and let it be known something that's on their heart, a decision, a commitment that they've made. This is the time we set aside for that. So as Mike plays, we'll wait for the Lord to direct each of your hearts. Sing that first verse that we all know by heart, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning bringing our prayers, our petitions, our concerns unto you. We bring our burdens and we lay them down at your feet. And Father, if we pick them up, help us to lay them down again. Your grace is sufficient. Pray your blessings, Father, on all who gather under this roof this morning, for those who gather in other places in the name of Jesus. May they be blessed. May your truth and your grace be spoken and felt and lived. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. You are dismissed. Greet one another with the love of Christ. Shake a hand, give a hug, give a listening ear.